Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Thank you. It's been a joy. I'm just so grateful for Eric and Candace. These guys have been like rocks, pillars in my life, and we've gone through so many different seasons together, but they are really, really special people. So I don't know how many times, oftentimes the most consistent leaders are some of the most unseen and unthanked people, because you just kind of like, they're just so consistent, they're so present. But guys, love on your leaders, express gratitude and appreciation for your leaders and for their sacrifice. It's really, really, I think it delights and pleases the heart of God. Also, amen, that's worth a hoot. Also, I was a youth minister. My baptism into ministry, I was a junior high pastor for 6 years. And let me just say this. Number one, I don't know how anyone gets roped into youth ministry. It's one of the greatest mysteries of today. And I didn't come in with this burning desire to see this younger generation transformed. I wanted to be a worship leader. I wanted to be on the music track, you know, kind of a thing. And for whatever reason, the Lord opened a door for me to serve youth. And to this day, guys, I would say that was the most transformational, important thing that I did, especially as a worship leader, because for so many different reasons. And I would even say, if you're a worship leader, you're a musician, and you actually want to grow, there's more to growing than worship schools. There's more to this. It's actually when you begin to learn how to disciple 12, 13, 14, 16-year-olds, when you learn how to engage this, when you get the heart of God for a generation, it will make you two times the worship leader or the musician that you were before, because it's not this little musical bubble. It's like you actually are connected with what God is wanting to form. God is looking, he's not looking for singers. He's looking for worshipers. And worshipers come through discipleship. Worshipers are something where you impart your life. And there's just a deeper thing that the Lord wants to do. And I would say some of my most fruitful years were serving these little young, gloriously squirrely, you know, off the wall, you know, it just honestly was a very, very fruitful time. And so if you want to make a deep, deep impact, you really do. See that woman, sign up, let's disciple this generation, if ever, for such a time as this, guys. It's a really, really important deal. So just want to say that. You know, I'm just going to launch into this. I feel like, honestly, for me, the main message that I feel the Lord has given me this season is repentance. It's not the journey that I'm going to go on today, but I just want to say this about repentance. I feel like the Lord is doing a mighty work in His church and in His house and in His people. That's just emotional thinking about, we were singing that song, "We Make Space," like come and take up residence. And I don't feel that just in a moment where we're hungry for the presence of God to crash in. Like I feel it in a cosmic, eternal way where we're welcoming the rightful King of the universe to come and to rule and to reign. And how many guys know that Jesus is coming soon? He is coming soon, and He's returning for a bride who is fully beautiful and on fire and contending and moving in faith on the earth. But I feel like there's so much the Lord wants to do that requires a movement of repentance, which is basically just us getting on the same page with God, us dealing with stuff that we haven't dealt with before in order to step into the fullness of what God has for us. And so that's not where I'm going to go today, but I want to say, take this moment of consecration seriously. It's a moment to deal with Anything that has plagued your life or long-standing sin or any hiddenness and any darkness. Guys, if you want to watch revival really, really break through, begin to deal with every bit of compromise and darkness in your life. And you're going to watch fellowship in this church change radically. And I'll tell you this, it's going to get messy. Yes, it will be messy. Yes, it's a little terrifying. If there's one thing that I know, we're very fragile internal human beings. And the last thing that we want to do is expose the things that are shameful, the things that are embarrassing, the areas where we failed and all that type of a thing. But we kind of just need to get over that because the blood of Jesus is bigger and stronger and more powerful than we know. But it requires us to come to the light. It says God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we deceive ourselves, is what the word of God says. But it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And this is the biggest thing that's so often missing in the body of Christ, because we put on a beautiful image. We never let people know what's actually going on or where we're struggling or where we've sinned or what any of that type of stuff. And so our fellowship is oftentimes very fake. And there is a glory that God is wanting to invite us into. And we're covetous of real fellowship with each other as the people of God. And we want fellowship with him. And it says when we walk in that place of light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus covers us and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And there's a level of worship that is coming to the church, but it's going to come as we begin to deal with the areas where we are bound. You guys do know that we're the sons and daughters of the living God, and we were made to step into and walk in great authority in this earth, right? That we're in a cosmic battle between good and evil, and there are people that are bound everywhere we go. They're in need of deliverance. They're in need of freedom in Jesus. But here's the truth. We cannot bind that we can't bind what we're bound by. We will never walk in the kind of freedom and deliverance and power and authority that we were made to carry in this city, in this nation, if we are bound by the same stuff that everybody else is bound by. So, the path is scary. I've had to walk this path out. I've got 2 years of deep, deep repentance. I had round one, and then it was round two, and round two was even crazier than the first. And it's like when you start on this journey, you don't even know what you have to repent for besides the big stuff. And then as the Lord begins to give you eyes to see what's going on in your life and your heart, it's both painful. But let me just say that there is great power and freedom and joy and victory on the other side of it. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be daunted by the mess and the stuff that it's going to create. Just say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your help, but I'm going in. And trust me, when the Lord really begins to come and break out and his holiness begins to enter a room, you will have no regrets. You have no regrets for being like, you just won't. So go for it. Okay. That's not my message, but I'm preaching anyway. Hey, it's one thing I've come to know in a very personal way over the past couple of years, and that's every believer is in a battle. And it's not the kind of thing that we advertise when we, have people come to Jesus and we say, hey, come and join this. And just so you know that, as you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're also getting Satan as your enemy. It's not part of the package that we talk about, but that's actually the truth, because God has an enemy. He's an enemy in this earth, and he has someone that has declared war against the saints of God. Hear me on this, because I'm not intimidated by the enemy. I have a healthy, what's the appropriate way? I mean, I realize that we in this day and age, especially this, we're like, we don't want to talk about the devil. We don't want to give the devil more credit than the devil deserves. I love Bill Johnson. Eric's dad, he just says, I only focus on the devil long enough to get him in my crosshairs, and there's something beautiful about that. And I do love that. It's equally foolish though to be ignorant of the battle that we're in, the warfare that we're engaged in, and how the enemy works. Paul says, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. He's a schemer. He's crafty. He's cunning. He's subtle. He's so good at what he does. And we can't be unaware of how he works and how he operates in our lives. But, so everyone's in a battle. I know you're facing it. The battle is absolutely spiritual, even sometimes when it's very natural. And I'm not talking about, you know, looking for a demon under every bush or leaf or that type of a thing, but just knowing that ultimately the truest reality in life is a spiritual reality. And the battle that we're in and the war that's raging is spiritual in nature. We know that because Scripture says that. Do you guys ever wonder where the enemy gets his intel from? Has ever, I'm amused about these things. It's weird, I know. But you ever wonder where, how does the enemy get his intel? I don't know, Candace. I'm just actually asking the question. No, I'm curious because I literally don't know. I don't know how it works. But I find it funny that long before, especially with creatives and artists, long before the world ever knows their name or anyone picks up or has a clue of what they actually carry, it seems that the enemy figured that out long before we were able to figure that out and has showed up in their life and is tormenting them and, you know, literally has them in so much bondage so often. And I just watch that. I watch that in communities. I watch that in communities that haven't even figured out their significance or their purpose or any of that type of a thing. And it's like right at the outset, the enemy, he can like see the trajectory of where certain communities or people are going. And he just, you know, bombards them with so much, just trying to take them out, destroy them, discourage them, you know. I've experienced this in my own life. And then I think this is my personal theory. It's just good warfare. It's just smart, strategic warfare. The enemy's he's not dumb. He loves to try and get in and unseat people before they actually discover who they are. Because you're vulnerable when you don't know who you are. You're vulnerable when you don't know the significance. You're vulnerable when you haven't quite figured out the plot that God has for your life and the force of destructive force for the works of darkness that he's designed you to be. And the second you begin to come into this understanding of, oh my gosh, the Lord has made me a son and daughter of light, and he has designed me to crush and destroy the works of devil through whatever it is that he's designed you and how he's designed you to do it. Once you figure that out, you're a lot harder to unseat. And I feel like there's something for this community. You guys just need to know in this moment, in this city, in this time, your life is important. How you live your life is important. What God is wanting to do with you is important for the transformation, for this epic cosmic battle that you get to play a part in. Amen. 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 But we need to learn how to use our weapons. And yes, the battle is real, but we have been given glorious weapons. If you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at 16 through 18. Our struggle, as Ephesians 6 says, it says, is not against human flesh. It's not against flesh and blood, but it is spiritual in nature. And it's the Bible. How many of you guys read This Present Darkness? Like, this is dating me. All right, there we go. My brothers and sisters out there, probably in the 80s. This book rocked my world as a little 12, 13-year-old boy. And I remember it because I remember it so strongly because it just kind of pulled back the curtains. Honestly, I think that book was anointed at some level, but it pulled back the curtains and just, you know, showed the drama that's happening behind the scenes. And I know it's a figment of someone's imagination, but I really do think there's a lot of truth to what he was talking about. And I love the emphasis on prayer that he had. Anytime the saints would begin to pray, anytime they would begin to worship, the angels would become awesome. And anyway, I just love this stuff. But I love the weapons that the Lord has given us. I love knowing about the cosmic drama that we've been placed in because it gives me perspective on life. I'm strangely encouraged by the fact that, like, I am actually at war. How many guys have ever just taken a beating and gone through these seasons where you're just struggling to find your way forward, or you just go like, I don't understand why or what's happening to me? And in these seasons, sometimes it's just nice to know that you're just at war. The enemy hates you. He does not like you. He's after you. He wants to take you out. He wants your family. He wants your, he's after it all. And sometimes you're like, oh, right. Right, you know, and he doesn't just hate me, he hates you too, and, you know, we can just, but the Lord has not left us without weaponry. He has not left us in this fight without stuff to really wage this beautiful battle. We're in the fight, the good fight of faith, and he's actually given us weapons. It says the weapons that we have, they are not carnal. They're not the weapons of the world. They have divine power, and they have power to demolish. I love this word. I love this word a lot. If you've ever seen anyone bound, you ever been in a situation where you're looking at someone and you literally, it's like their very situation is overwhelming to you. It's a level of brokenness and addiction and a cycle. It's like you can't see any way for breakthrough to happen. It's almost like to look at them as to despair a little bit or to feel powerless or to feel hopeless. Guess what? God has given us weapons that can demolish. Like in a moment, in an instant, he's given us weapons that are not carnal, that are not out of the flesh, but they have divine power to demolish the works of the devil. When Jesus comes to town through his people, there are situations that have been 10, 20, 30 years in the making that the power of God, the inbreaking, one little prophetic word, one little person speaking over someone's life has the power to literally demolish 30 years of bondage in people's lives. And we just need to know that the weapons we've been given are powerful. The thing that's missing is our awareness of them. And the thing that's missing is we have to know the armor that we've been given by God. We need to learn how to put it on, how to strap it on effectively. We need to learn how to walk in it with great skill in these days. Okay, I've officially opened up this thing. I want to talk about Thanksgiving. This is the most powerful weapon that I have found. Not the most powerful, but it is one of great power. And I don't give conceptual talks. I try and only give talks where I have walked this out. And honestly, this was given to me. It was an assignment given to me during Thanksgiving by, you know, a pastor. He just said, hey, would you help me out? Would you just preach on Thanksgiving? And so it's kind of like the token talk, you know? And I wasn't, you know, I'm like, okay, sure, I want to serve. And so I started giving the token talk. But I did not prepare. I was not prepared to be rocked by what I discovered as I began to study this thing of Thanksgiving. Michael Miller, Upper Room, worship there, is blessing the world. He literally built that entire worship ministry on this one principle. He says, you are to give thanks. He just felt the Lord say, you are to give thanks. And Michael calls it the small little hinge that opens a big door. And I love this picture, you know? And I've really found this to be true as I've walked this out in my life. So here's 5, maybe 6, maybe 3, depending how much time we have. But the number one reason why Thanksgiving is of critical importance and we need to become a people of Thanksgiving is this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, as someone who's ongoingly wrestled with what's the will of God for my life and how do I fulfill the will of God for my life, I read this and it just hit me so hard. I'm like, oh Lord, every time I give thanks to you in all circumstances, I can know with confidence because your word says that I am fulfilling the will of God for my life in Christ Jesus. And this is a glorious, glorious thing. And I'd hate, because this is, Thanksgiving, guys, is meant to be so foundational to our assignment, so foundational to our identity as believers and for his will for us in this earth. It'd be a crime for us to miss this. Are Christians known as thankful people? In this hour, in this moment, are we known as thankful people? People that, you know, you go find a Christian somewhere, they're just like the doggonest, most grateful people ever. No, I don't know that this is our reputation in the earth right now. But it's meant to be. And in fact, I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I'm just stop. We are meant to be the most thankful people on the face of the planet because this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And I'm not pointing a finger, guys, at anyone. If you know anything about me, as Eric and Candace do, and all my wrestlings, you know, they would probably not describe me as the most thankful person ever. I'm constantly in some kind of wrestle. I don't know. I was born in the 70s, raised in the 80s, and then became an adolescent in the 90s, and I was a musician. I was a creative. And how many knows the 90s, it's like we gloried in our depression. Like we just, the darker it was like, that's a sad song. Yes. You know, like it was just anything with pain and angst and, you know, all that is, and I loved it. I was a musician and I'm like, I embraced every sad, low emotion because I'm like, this just makes great art right here. This just fuels wonderful songs and they weren't wonderful at all. But you know, it's like you feel everything so deeply. So this is more my wiring system. I'm not your joy guy. I'm not like, help me, Lord. This is something I'm learning. I'm learning how to do. I'm learning the power of being someone who learns to give thanks in all circumstances, which seems like the easiest, so simple, and then you try and live it out. You try and actually do this. If you guys ever had a really, really hard week, you know, just go, just try and get your heart to move to a place of thanksgiving and you will see the challenge. If you're in deep pain, this is a hard thing. And honestly, I don't think that Thanksgiving looks chipper in that moment. Don't think it looks cheap. There's a reason why it's called a sacrifice of thanksgiving, but there is a way to offer to God gratitude and praise in all circumstances. In all. And it doesn't have to come from an inspired place. It's actually beautiful when it's coming from a costly place in your life and in your heart. Which, by the way, I don't believe that giving thanks in all circumstances means that we give thanks for all circumstances. We don't thank God for car crashes and cancer, but we do thank God in the midst of car crashes and cancer. We praise Him. All right, number two. Besides the fact that it is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, another second reason why Thanksgiving is critical is because Thanksgiving fuels a life of faith. Faith is our shield. Faith is the thing we lift up. Faith is the thing that extinguishes all the flaming darts of the enemy. And I don't pretend to understand all the ways that Thanksgiving and faith are connected, but I do know that it's impossible to lift up genuine thanksgiving to the Lord and not begin to move into the realm of faith. A life of faith, especially in the midst of trial and opposition and attack, needs fuel. Oftentimes, let me just say this. When we're facing a really difficult and intense situation, it can be hard to get our hearts to that place of faith. But I found when we do something just as small as begin to thank God, just begin to thank Him. Thank Him for whatever comes to mind. Even if it's just simple little things, you just begin to thank God. You will watch that simple little activity somehow open a door. And I don't know how this works, but you will watch it open a door. Or all of a sudden, you move from a place of doubt and unbelief, and you begin to move into a place of faith. It's like one of these things. I just know there's a great connection between thanksgiving and faith, and we need greater faith in this moment. We need greater courage in this moment. And thanksgiving is going to, I think, really release us and enable us to step into more faith. Because if you can face loss and disappointment and delay and failure and defeat and rejection and be found giving thanks, I promise you this is going to become, you're going to become a person of great faith. Amen. If you guys have kids, can you imagine? Because I just want to understand the impact that this, I believe this is, makes on the heart of the father. You know, because if you watch one of your younger ones, you know, go through a really, really intense week where they were rejected or they were bullied, you know, at school or, you know, whatever it may be. And if you walk past their bedroom and you heard them thanking God, if you heard them giving thanksgiving and being joyful, would that not cause your jaw to hit the floor? I think that type of expression, that sacrifice, so moves the heart of God and so opens the door for him to begin to move in our lives. In the same way that grumbling and complaining gives access to the enemy to do so much in our life, I would say that thanksgiving opens the door for God's activity in our lives and in our hearts. And we see that so clearly in the story of Paul and Silas. Christine Kane, she has a great quote. She was talking about, she came to our church a while back and just preached this message. She's like, desire a faith that makes God marvel. She talked about the Roman centurion and just said, like, this guy had a faith that caused Jesus to marvel. And he says, when God marvels, he does miracles. I really think there's something to that. There's something to that connection. And so we have this story. You guys know this story. You got Paul and Silas. They were beaten. Someone stirred up a whole attack against them. The chief magistrates, I'm just reading a little bit of scripture, they tore the robes and they ordered that Paul and Silas be beaten with rods. And this is like Roman punishment. This is not like a slight little, you know, thwack, you know. This is like people died from this type of beating, like skin broken open. Like this is a, you know, the 40 was kind of the maximum thing, because if you go longer than that, oftentimes people didn't make it. So they are beaten with rods. And after striking them many times with rods, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. He, having secured a strict command, threw them into the inner prison, which is the dungeon, and fastened their feet in stocks, which is just such overkill, don't you think? Like, you've already beaten these guys. You're putting them in the deepest, darkest place of a non-modern prison. It's a dungeon. Who knows what that felt like or was like, but we probably don't even have a grid for it. And then they put them in stocks. And you're just like, this is a cruel form of torture. You're never able to get comfortable. You're broken. You're bleeding. And here's the thing that I've just had to remind myself is, we always know these stories from childhood, most of us, the end from the beginning, right? How many know it's really easy to listen to someone's testimony and be super excited for them? How many know that before you've experienced your breakthrough, how hard it is to get your heart to a place that you're like, you have to kind of remember those stories. And you're like, oh, maybe this is one of those moments, because it's very hard to get your heart to rally in those things. These guys did not know. My point is, they didn't know what was going to come the next day. They did. They could have. Their heads were probably, you know, they didn't know. We could have been executed. There could have been more beatings. They had no idea how the next morning was going to go, and where. What do we find them doing? They're singing. They're singing songs of praise to the Lord. Oh, when I read these stories, I'm just like, oh, Lord, please let me be one of those people. And then I realize, like, you have lots of opportunity right now to be one of those people. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm in. Honestly, truly, they found singing. It's not like they knew the formula. There's no formula. It's like, right, if we sing, we get an earthquake, kind of a thing. It's like they didn't know that that's what was going to happen, but it's something beautiful begins to happen. Instead of grumbling and complaining or asking God, why are we in this horrible situation? We've done nothing wrong. What's going on? They're singing and they're praising and they're thanking God. And in the midst of it, here's what I love the most, is the witness of it. It says all the prisoners were listening. Like right there, every prisoner is going to be marked by that. They're like, who are these people? Like, what? Oh, Lord, help us. They heard the sound of thanksgiving and praise, and I would think it's safe to say it thrilled the heart of God. And the point is, I'm trying to make, and then we know the earthquake happened. We know that the whole jailer's family was saved. We know that all the prison doors were opened because of this simple act of gratitude and praise to the Lord. And I'm just saying, if you want to move in this greater area of faith, who wants more faith in their life? I want more faith in my life. Then we need to begin to offer up a greater measure of thanksgiving. Okay, I belabored this point. So, amen. Just say amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how many points I'm going to try and get through here, guys. Here's one other thing. Thanksgiving fuels a life of faith because it keeps the works of God in front of you. And this is so huge. You know, if you read through the Psalms and you observe, you know, how the writers write, one thing you'll notice is that they constantly remember. They constantly call to mind. They constantly remember what God did in previous seasons. They keep the works of God in front of them. And one of the things that just hit me the other day is I'm like, why do they do that? Why is there so much where they're just constantly talking about, you know, what the Lord did in these previous seasons? And one of the things that I think is the reason why is because if you study Israel's history, there was the when the people of God forgot how God would work, and if they didn't keep the works of God in front of them, it always led to spiritual decline and it always led to ruin. Always. And it just says it right here. It's Psalm, oh boy, I hate preaching from an iPad. Psalm 106, it says, they sang his praise. This is a song about the deliverance of the Lord in the Red Sea. This is when the whole Israeli, the Israeli people crossed over, and it says the Pharaoh's, you know, army came through. You guys know the story. They drowned. They drowned, and the people of God were delivered. You guys know this whole deal. And it says on the other side, they begin to praise the Lord. And it was this wild, glorious celebration. And it says this, it says right after, they sang his praise and they quickly forgot his works. And I'm like, this is a spiritual disease. This is a spiritual condition. And I'm like, how many guys have you read through the Old Testament and you watch the rise and the fall of spiritual temperament in Israel's history? It's like in one moment they're following the Lord with all their hearts, the next moment the whole generation forgets, and then they get all these curses begin to unravel. They get captured by their enemies, they get persecuted, there's famine, and all of a sudden they're like, all right, the Lord. And then they come back to the Lord with all their hearts and they do really, really good for who knows how many years, and then they're right back, and it's just like boom, 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 boom. And I remember thinking, like, these guys are dumb. These guys are not an intelligent people. It's so obvious, you know, what they need to do. Can't they just be a little consistent, you know? And then all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, I am that person. We are all that person in many ways, because, you know, I was just marveling. Literally, I can have a breakthrough and I can watch the Lord come through and do an amazing thing in my life. And then 3 months later, when I'm faced with a smaller trial, I'm still like, oh, I don't know. And I'm so destabilized. And I just realized, like, oh, it's that simple. And there's something about, guys, when we keep the works of God, when you're able to keep the works of God, when you're able to come back to that place of gratitude and thanksgiving and just say, Lord, thank you that you're faithful. I remember, I'm going to put this work right in front of you. Like, I remember, Lord, how you came through for me 3 months ago. I had no money or whatever it is, or I was in this situation. I didn't know how it was going to go and where this was going to take me. But Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you hold me. Thank you that you are my provider. Thank you that you're the one who delivers me. And when you begin to move into this and you keep the works of God in front of you, all of a sudden your spiritual life begins to become vibrant again, and you have the grace to begin to move forward in life. Also, in case you're wondering, there's no expiration date on what you can give thanks for. Okay? And it's perfectly legal to give thanks for something that happened 3 months, 6 months, 3 years ago, 10 years ago. You can thank God that you were born. You can thank God that your parents were, you know, whatever it is. You can thank God. You know, one of the things that I love about the Israeli people is they wrote psalms of thanksgiving and praise to God about him parting the Red Sea and delivering his people hundreds of years after the fact. They were like, this is the modern day worship song hit. It's about an event that happened 300 years ago, but it's our current anthem right now. And they would praise the Lord in such a way for something he did 300 years ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if they can do that for something that happened 300 years ago, surely we can do it for something that happened 6 months, a year ago. There's no expiration date on what you can give God thanks for. Okay. I got too much material, guys, so I'm going to skip the next one. Honestly, I could just land the plane right now and be perfectly fine, but I'm going to hit just briefly. Thanksgiving is a powerful weapon against spiritual disease and deception. And, you know, if I'm just speaking plainly, there's a lot happening in the earth right now. There's a lot happening in the church right now. And lots of people are concerned. And there's lots of shaking happening in the universe. And one of the greatest spiritual diseases, you know, you can take this for what it's worth, but I think is to create discouragement, hopelessness, despair, despondency. There's all of these things that can start to kind of infiltrate the body of Christ and begin to choke out the life, the peace, the joy, and the faith that we were meant to carry, specifically in this moment. And I have found Thanksgiving to be this powerful, powerful immune booster. And it's kind of like taking your vitamins and your Wheaties and your workout and putting it all in one package. And if you will actually begin to give thanks on a regular basis, thank God. Just begin to thank Him. I found, you know, when you come into a city, you always feel so many different things. But I just, I'm a bit of a feeler, I guess, in a weird way. I can feel all kinds of environments. You can feel all these types of things. And I find that that doesn't always help me know what the heart of God is. But when I just began to do this, as I was running through your parks and your city's gorgeous, by the way. But as we're running through your trails, I just began to thank God. I'm like, thank God for studio. Thank God for this church. Thank God for what you're doing in this city. Thank Him for His plans and His purposes. And there's something that just began to shift in a huge way, in my heart. And I just think we need a strong spiritual immune system in these days. Yeah. I could go into offense. Thanksgiving has such tremendous power to overthrow offense in your life. And you know, maybe you're like me, offense had to be called out. A spiritual father called it out in my life. One of the hardest, most awkward, painful moments of my life, where I was feeling all kinds of righteous anger and indignation and a number of different things. And he just looked at me and just said, you know, and he heard all my ammunition. He said, you know, I just see the word offense over your head. And my body got all hot all over, you know, like when someone speaks truth. And what I found out is that I get offended like breathing. I deal with tremendous amounts of offense. And it's like in a moment, in a flash, because the Holy Spirit was speaking and touching on something in my heart. I just realized I saw this 15-year pattern with leadership, with people, with everything. And I'm like, oh, because offense, especially if you're zealous and you're passionate, it's very sneaky. It likes to hide behind the fire of a lot of different things. And it takes the Holy Spirit to go, hey, that's not all pure. There is some mixture in there. And he gave me a key. He just said this. He says, I need you to give thanks. Your weapon is gratitude, and it's going to weed your heart of all bitterness and all offense. And I will say this, and leads into my next point. If you want to get the heart of God for a person or a situation, especially if you're in a conflict, a high kind of one of those really intense situations with someone, I recommend you do this, that you give thanks to God for them. Especially before any kind of confrontational conversation or anything, if you begin to give thanks to God for them, you will experience, it'll be a different conversation. You know, Paul opened all of his letters, and he had many things to say, not all of his letters, but of the vast majority of his letters, Paul opened with thanksgiving. And he needed to address sexual immorality. He needed to address like all manner of very urgent issues, but he always opened with thanksgiving. And there's something about thanksgiving that purifies our hearts, purifies our eyes. It's like when you have an issue with someone, and before you go and bring that issue to them, you thank God for them. You thank God for the way He knit them in their mother's womb, that you know, you just begin to go off, and you will begin to get a hold of their destiny and who they're made to be in God, and it's going to change that conversation. Thanksgiving purifies our hearts in this regard, and it was powerful to overthrow offense. And here's the thing, I found that it didn't just work with people, it worked with the church. You know, many of us have been hurt by the church. Many of us have been hurt by many different things. But man, when you begin to give thanks to God for the church and the people of God and for what God is doing in the earth through the people of God, it's going to correct and right something in your heart. And more than that, it's going to be a beautiful incense and aroma to Him, which is everything. Last thing is Thanksgiving dethrones pride in our lives. And pride is so sneaky. Pride is one of the subtlest of things. You don't even know how pride is at work in your life until it kind of gets exposed. But one of the things, I was just so convicted reading the story of Hezekiah. And it's such a strange thing. You know, he got really, really sick. He was a faithful king to the Lord. He got really, really sick. A prophet came to him and said, hey, you need to wrap up your affairs. You're going to die. And so he weeps before the Lord, and the Lord hears it. Before the prophet's even out of the region, he tells him to go back and says, tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years of life. And it's an interesting, you know, conversation. But later on, we find out that that didn't necessarily go as one would hope for Hezekiah, because his heart became proud. It says, Hezekiah did nothing for the Lord in return for the benefit bestowed on him, because his heart had become proud. Therefore, God's wrath came on him and on Judah and on Jerusalem. And you have the right response that would have been gratitude and thanksgiving, and it was killed by pride. But on the other side of that, guys, let me just say that thanksgiving has the ability to kill pride. Did I say that right? I hope so. Amen. You want to kill pride? Amen. Thank you. Okay, this helps me. You want to kill pride, not keep pride alive, and thanksgiving is powerful to dethrone pride. And here's the deal. God opposes the proud. And on the other side of you understanding your significance and all the thing, and you know, the enemy tries to attack you, make you feel so small and so insignificant and all of that, and all of a sudden, let's say you make it through past that initial phase of attack, and you begin to wake up to your destiny and who God has made you to be, and you begin to move in great authority, you know, in the Lord. The enemy has another tactic, and that tactic is to get you to become prideful. Because if he can get you and entrap you into any form of pride, he doesn't need to oppose you, because God will oppose you. He says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And this is Balaam and Balak stuff. Balaam and Balak, I won't go into the whole situation. It's the guy who the donkey talks to him. But he was paid to curse the people of Israel, but he couldn't curse them. And because he couldn't curse them, he could only bless them. But he did give, basically, the king of Balak, who was hated Israel, he gave them an insidious strategy. And it was to entrap Israel in sexual immorality, because he knew if he did that, God himself would judge that. And that's oftentimes what the enemy does. And there's something about thanksgiving. It's really hard to be very prideful and thankful. They're like oil and water. They actually don't mix. So if you struggle being a prideful person, you know you battle with pride, become a thankful person and you will watch this thing dethroned in your life. Okay. Lord, I pray. I just thank you for this people. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that they endured my lengthiness, Lord, but I just pray that you would birth thanksgiving in this people, that there would be a praise that begins to rise in Greenville, that just begins to overwhelm the city. I pray for a shifting of the atmosphere. I pray, Lord, I just know that you have many people in this city, and one of the most beautiful things is that as those people get saved, there's more thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving results in glory to you. So, Lord, I pray for a determined posture of thanksgiving, no matter what comes in the days ahead, that this people would be found praising the Lord, that this people would be found giving thanks. And all who agree with that, say amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.